Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn, and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Savage Saturdays here on the Drinking Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Derek White. Joining me, as always,
It's Owen.
We just wanted to take a second to let you know that today's episode of Savage Saturday is sponsored by Ghostbed. Ghostbed's been a loyal sponsor of the Drinking Bros Podcast for over 4 years. Everybody loves Ghostbed. I love Ghostbed. I'm the proud owner of two Ghostbed mattresses and two pillows. And right now, if you buy a mattress from Ghostbed, you get two free pillows. And if you go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros, you can save 25%. That's ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Grab yourself a mattress, two free pillows, get some good sleep. Enjoy the show.
Fuck, that hurts so bad.
Because you got them little sensitive hands now.
I did my clap, but you know, I had my competition this past Saturday.
Yep.
Came at a price.
Put some skin down.
Came at a price, you know. So actually, let's be courteous to our listeners. Hi, welcome back to Savage Saturdays. This is episode 30.
Yep.
I'm your host, Derek Whyta. Owen's in the room, and we've got
Stacy.
Savage Stacy.
Savage Stacy.
Say hi, Stacy. Say hi.
Hi, Stacy. Hi.
Hi. Hey, Chad did that on the show.
He did. That's
some people can't help themselves with that,
like,
one.
Compulsion.
You know.
Yeah. Bad joke.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah. So we're all here. I think today we're just going to spend some time and we're going to recap competition. I really liked how episode 29 went. I actually listened to it while I was up in Utah there, and just kind of the interview.
Was that ours?
No, we were 28.
Oh, I was like, that's
this was with AJ.
Right.
No,
but you did like ours though, right?
I did. Yeah, see? And I said I did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job,
yeah.
Stacy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to Owen hyperventilate.
First 30 seconds was like, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's the significance of what you just said? I know it was before the show, before we started recording, but I can't move on. You said,
oh, I was just reading the news. An Israeli airliner completed its first direct flight from, obviously, Israel to the UAE.
Why is that significant?
Because the UAE is an Arab nation, United Arab Emirates.
And they don't like Israel?
Oh, yeah. They are not close at all. However, I think it was 2 weeks ago now. I think they had the peace agreement.
Peace agreement. About two weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to be...
historic.
It's good
maybe
for
not
trade.
Friends, but yeah, exactly. It's good for, like, the world, really, to show that people that are different can get along. Wow.
No,
that imagine doesn't, that.
No, that doesn't coincide
entire
with the beliefs nations that have been instilled
people.
Upon me this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a happy story to start out with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so...
And on top of that, too, Israeli jets landed in Germany for the first time, like, a couple weeks ago, too.
Mm.
They had never flown to Germany?
Supposedly, no.
Really?
Yeah, so...
I didn't know that.
That one's also understandable.
Yeah.
I mean...
So before we get into recapping the competition, I got a slapper. I got a slapper, and we've shared similar music like this before.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've shared this band yet or
nope.
This group.
You have not.
And I listen to them all the time for years. I love it. It's a lot like Wardrunner type shit, you know. But this band is called Heilung, and it's Heilung. And specifically, the song I'm going to share is called Norupo.
Okay.
Norupo.
Sounds just Japanese.
But I
like
really
a Japanese
don't.
Whiskey.
I don't know what it is because they sound, they have like
Heilung?
Heilung, yeah. But then they do a haka. So I have no idea what now. Oh, you got your computer out, right?
I do because I was actually multitasking. I'm doing
if only we had a
time.
Device where we could look up stuff on
right,
the fly.
Yeah. But no, I listen to these guys. It's one of those chill bands with like that cool war drum beat.
Yeah, no, I dig that.
Pumps you up, keeps your heart rate low, and makes you feel aggressive. And I was actually like, you know, we'll talk about it, but before the event, I was starting to get really nervous So I had to start listening to my like meditation, calm down type music.
I tried to get a picture of your nervous face, and you immediately switched to not nervous face.
Oh, I don't really? Know that I've ever seen.
I
Derek
was impressed
because
I saw you, and I went to grab my camera, and you're like, "Ha ha!" trying to catch me with my pregame face.
Well, it was weird. Everything was weird. So
they were founded in 2014 by vocalist Kai U. Faust, who's a German tattoo artist who specializes
German.
In Old Norse tattoos.
I wondered if they were German.
Well, it says Denmark, Norway, and Germany.
Yeah.
But for the, you're into that whole like Scandinavian, like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that war drum shit, yep. You know? And I have no idea what they're saying, but it doesn't matter.
I like
but
it.
But they also have like a female vocalist, and her shit's really good.
Sometimes war drum pairs with female vocalists, mm-hmm. and it sounds super cool.
Yeah. So, that's our slapper for today. I'm a little bit mellow. I think it's Monday.
Yeah.
You know, this episode will come out Friday, Saturday, but it's
2 days after the competition.
2 days. So yeah. And I'm not tired from the competition. You know, it was just one event. It was 9 minutes of working out, but it was just like, you know, August has been so, I don't know a different word to say besides stressful. It's not like a bad stress. It's just, you really look forward to something, and there's a lot of, it's like, it's a lot of
anticipation,
you know,
endorphins.
And now it's done. And so now I'm just like, hey, it's just kind of like,
that'll be a few days,
taking a few days to relax and not care and start figuring out what, you know, what I need to get done and stuff like that. But
it's like when you have a, like a job interview that you've been really anxious for or looking forward to. And then when you get it or after you've passed that interview, you kind of have that like 3 days or 4 days of decompression.
Yeah. Well, doing competitions, like some competitions that are like three events in a day or a 3 day. So like I'm doing HOA at the end of the month and I tank after those competitions. And that's like a real physical adrenal tank. That's the weird thing. Like my body may not be as sore, but my adrenals are just,
cashed.
You know, the chemicals are done.
Yep.
Yeah. There's just, that's one of the, so I usually take like a week to recover physically, from stuff, but I, you know, this competition was just, 9 minutes of work, and I really, the training we did up to it was a lot harder than the competition itself. So, yeah. So where do you want to start? Should we start at the event and then work back if we want?
Yeah,
because
you're saying 9 minutes of work, which sounds like, oh, that's easy. I can do that's 9 easy. Minutes of work. But when you look at the actual work that was done, that's hard work, especially like I really liked how Brooklyn was commentating during the whole thing because she has a different perspective as an athlete. So she was going through it saying like, oh, this is really taxing your triceps. And then you're rolling into something that taxes your XYZ and then your grip strength and all of that, which people don't, if you're not doing this sport, you don't actually realize.
Yeah. So, so for our listeners, you can watch the whole event. It's on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Derek Whyta.
The whole one is on your,
or my event,
your event,
if you
is
watch
on your Facebook.
The entire night. You know, we had AJ here last week.
Yep.
Competitive Fitness Championship is their Facebook page. So the event was the competition I did, it was one event for the above knee championship
title. It was the title fight.
Yeah.
Title
and
fight.
If you're watching
the title
video,
defense,
this is my
it
belt.
Was.
This is my belt. Well, it wasn't because it's
however,
a new business.
Yes.
So it was up for grabs.
Oh, okay.
I was the Rush Club champion, but
got
now
it.
I'm the CFC champion.
Got
you know?
It.
So he holds two belts.
He had two titles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Oh,
yeah.
Well, he
maybe
does
maybe
have
I'll tell
two
you
belts.
Something that Jake and I have been talking about the last day.
Okay. There's always something coming around the corner. Like legit, I've told all my family and close friends, like I'm just waiting for this competition to be over. But then
you can find out what's next.
I follow that up quickly with, because I know something else is around the corner. It's
well,
just when.
I'm
just,
in a training just, cycle again.
Yeah. Yeah. I just
no, I mean
know
like
what
I,
it is.
I know
yeah.
he has a team comp at the end of September.
But that's for fun.
But that's quote unquote for fun, which is going to quickly turn into see. Yeah. Like I'm not stupid. We've been married for 3 years now, and I know more than you think I know.
Yeah.
Derek she knows Whyta, how you work, Derek.
Yeah, Derek Whyta is not a mysterious person.
Hey.
Which is what Owen and I talked
about. That's right.
About.
Yeah.
We're just a couple farmers over here.
Yeah, I enjoy farming
yeah.
from time to time.
Yeah. So the event I did, it was in a 9 minute time cap. So you have 9 minutes to get as far as you can or complete the workout. 9 minute time cap. It has a buy-in and cash out, which means you do something before and after the workout. So the buy-in cash out is 10 100-pound sandbags over shoulder. So the workout starts 10 sandbag over shoulder, 100 pounds, and then it goes 9, 7, 5 of 30-inch burpee box jump overs, toe to bar, bar muscle ups, and then cleans at 135, and then you finish with 10 more 100-pound sandbags over shoulder, and that's in a 9 minute time cap there.
Right.
And so I actually, you know, it was years ago. I didn't create this workout.
Right.
But I helped create the workout. Or, you know, I actually had Jake draw up like 3 to 5 workouts.
Who's Jake?
I didn't say that name. I had a friend draw up 3 to 5 workouts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Present it to AJ. Because the thing is what I don't like about adaptive division workouts is they're not sometimes they are too easy.
Okay.
You know, like they're like, oh, they're crippled. Let's make the one-legged man only jump to an 18-inch box. But that's so not impressive.
That's why I'm asking, like, too easy for who? Or like in what
the
aspect?
Elite, or it's not impressive to me, or maybe I mean,
so there's a difference between competitions and then regular training, right? So like, you know, certain competitions are not going to do certain movements or like string together different things because it's not really like entertaining per se.
Yeah.
So is that what you mean?
Yeah,
also,
yeah. So CFC, it's competition, but it's also entertainment.
Right.
Right.
So is like, you know what? Like if you're an above knee amputee, getting out of the bed and going to the gym, that's good. You know, like it's hard. But if you're an above knee amputee doing burpee box jump overs at 30 inches, that's just like stop a viewer in their tracks and be like, what am I seeing? What am I seeing?
Yeah.
You know, and then toe to bar, bar muscle ups, there's nothing super amazing about that. It's just like it's a tough.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. Yeah. I can't. Well,
but then like the 135 cleans in the workout, that's a legit weight. And the way we do it is like muscle clean, you know, and just that 100-pound sandbag, the way we you know, it's not much leg drive. It's funny because the workout is so short, it's such few reps, but there's something about that combo that just gets you. You know, toe to bar right into bar muscle ups, right into the
that
cleans,
especially
right into, you know, so it's funny because, you know, I don't want to give too much of my, well, I don't care. So, my strategy for the workout was, you know, to go at a comfortable pace on the sandbag over shoulder. And I felt super, so it was, we were shooting for 5 second reps.
Okay.
So that would mean I would have 50 seconds to finish those first 10 reps.
Right.
And I think I was going pretty good and in control, but I watched the video and I think I finished in like 34 seconds or something like
that.
That's really fast.
I had
but
to
I
keep
got,
telling you to slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at like 7 or 8, I heard AJ announce that we were rep for rep.
Neck and neck.
Yep. That made me angry. I was like, no, I can't do this neck and neck shit. Cause I was already like really nervous and scared.
Right.
In the first movement, he's already like, you know, oh my gosh.
Well,
but the thing is too, is with these movements and these competitions, anything can happen at any point. That's why I also want to point out like the strategy. So Derek said he had a strategy going into this. Like I didn't really necessarily realize that, you know, for these kinds of competitions or even training per se. So I've learned that through my training too. Like, hey, what is your goal here? What is your strategy? And that really makes a difference between someone who just casually does fitness and someone who I think is a competitor.
Yeah.
So that's
like,
interesting.
I posted a picture on Instagram this morning and I look like I'm super serious.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing there, but what I'm really doing is math in my head. I was counting to 10. So the way the sandbag was, it was off to the side of the box a little bit.
Yeah.
But it, depending on which way I faced, if I threw it over my shoulder, it would be in my burpee lane. And so I would have to, you know, do that 10 sandbag, then move the sandbag to start my burpee. So I was counting which way to face to start so that I would throw it out of my lane.
Right.
But that's another thing is everything counts.
Totally.
Every step for Derek or anyone, like a below knee, above knee, whatever, or even, it doesn't even matter if you have two legs, every step counts, where you put your things. The strategy behind all of that is what makes a fitness person an elite.
Yeah, right, but that's a high level to achieve that kind
that's what I'm saying.
Thought and focus and clarity.
I remember
I didn't always have that, you know. I would used to just like run through something, you know, but when you know you really start breaking things down.
Yeah.
And
how do you shave off one movement? How do you gain back 3 seconds? Right. How do you speed it up just a little bit so that way all those little bits add up to like a 30-second lead or whatever.
So like I did those I did the D ball and I actually came off I think about a rep and a half ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I was going to, our plan was to do 5 second reps for the 9 burpee box jump overs, but I was a little bit, uncomfortable with how close he was to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stepped on the gas for a little, I was like, I'm going to try to dust him on these burpee box jump overs. Then I'll take a look at where he's at, you know? And I cruised through those first ones. And I'll tell you, when we did this workout in 2017, I wasn't happy with how I looked when I did the burpees. I was really kind of, I looked like my body felt heavy. I wasn't attacking the burpees.
Oh, okay.
Like burpees are tough, you know?
And I wasn't attacking,
right.
I wasn't attacking the burpees. So if you look on those first 9, my rule was if my chest hits the ground, I'm popping up.
Right.
And if I need to catch my breath or something, I'll catch my breath after the pop-up, you
right.
know, but I'm not going to inchworm my first set of burpees. So I hit the gas there, and then I just hopped over to the bar to start my toe to bar, and I looked over, and I created a nice little gap there, you know. And one of the hardest things in my competition is our plan was, you know, in training for the night, so it goes toe to bar right into bar muscle-ups, and in training I did 9 and 9 without coming down. And that's what we were training for in case we had to do that,
right.
you know.
And how many was it for this?
9 and 9.
It was 9 and 9.
Yeah, okay. So this round is 9 and 9. My coach told me to come down. Do 9 toe to bar and then come down. And I said, what if we're neck and neck? He's like, if you're neck and neck, go for it. But if you're 2 reps ahead, come down.
Yeah.
And I came down. I didn't know if I was going to. Because like when you get nervous, when you want to attack and go... But that workout, you know, the round of 9 is just there to screw up your round of 7.
Yep.
You know?
Just to heat you up a little bit before you got to go.
Yeah.
But that's when you have to trust your process.
Yeah. But that's a lot of training.
For sure.
It's a lot of trust.
Because, you know, going back to the 5 second reps, that's kind of a lot of time for Derek. And it's kind of a lot of pause, slow time.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to trust the process and know that you've been training for this and that that's a good time for you, blah, blah, blah. Cause I don't know how he checks in on the other athlete. I don't get it. When I'm doing something, I'm literally only focused on what
you got
I'm
blinders
doing.
On.
Yeah, yeah. I can't focus on what someone else is
that's
doing.
I was good. Well, so that's, here's how it went. Yeah. So I did the toe to bar and it was then when I was done with the toe to bar and Marcus was still on his burpee box jump overs. I was like, all right,
got a little room
we're
to play
good.
With.
Yeah. Yeah. We're good now.
And if you come out too hot, I mean, you can tank fast.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I was worried about.
It's like
about.
Hitting a wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
so the
thing is with these CFC workouts is you have to, your comfortable pace has to be a really fast pace.
Right.
Cause it is you toe the line with the red line and whoever can hold that the longest, you know? So anyways, I did those toe to bar. I came down for 10 seconds. I went right at the 10 second mark. Those were some of the best muscle ups I've ever done. Those were fast.
Yep.
Those were fast.
Popped right up.
Yeah, those were really fast.
The skin but I just popped like, right
yeah,
off too.
Really, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we had an arrangement. Marcus was going to wear his hand grips and everybody, they were supposed to tape my pull up bar.
Right.
I didn't want to wear hand grips and Marcus okayed that and AJ okayed that. And when I walked out and I saw no tape on the bar, I was like, man, son of a bitch. Like,
God
I'm going to fucking tear here.
Yep.
I was like, and
that's
I told
part of the competition.
I told myself, I was like, Derek, you're going to tear and you're going to fucking shut the fuck up about it. Cause it really doesn't matter. Cause it was like, that was my year.
Yeah, that after was, that what year. Do you need your yeah. hands for? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Well, you know.
Yeah.
I do some stuff. Like.
Work around the house, you know.
The dishes.
The dishes.
I did the dishes last night, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so especially when I finished, as soon as I finished those first 9 muscle-ups, I knew that we that we were going to win.
But this is why I can't compete or, like, do any sort of anything event, because I have all these expectations. And if something happens the day of, I'm just, it's shot for me. But well, Derek just rolls with it because you have to. Mm-hmm. But it just bothers me to my core. And I'm like, forget it. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Yeah.
So I had such a panic moment.
Yeah.
When I was waiting outside. So before our walkout, we just sit there by ourselves.
Yep.
And we were supposed to start, I think we were supposed to walk out at like 7:37 was the tentative time. And I think we walked out at about 7 o'clock. And so everything was like
moving
the
along.
Warm up was super rushed. And I showed up late, you know, I showed up at my own time, 'cause I didn't want to just sit around there for too long. And my self-talk and mental game had been good up until that day. Saturday, I just started like panicking, but it's, yeah. but that's fine. And it actually made me think about airborne school.
Okay.
How what scared part? I was to jump out of the plane that first time.
Yeah.
I wasn't a tough person, you know?
Right.
Like growing up, I was afraid of roller coasters and things like that. And you're literally like fucking nervous and shaken to the core.
I hate roller coasters.
And I was outside and I was sitting down and AJ was doing my introduction. And I was seriously freaking out. I felt empty, dude. I was like, I can't do this. What the fuck? I think I'm going to puke and shit right now. I can't do this. And I looked at the woman who was going to tell me when to go in. And I looked at her and I said, I can do this, right? You know? And she looked at me and she said, you can do this. She's like, I can't do this, but you can do this.
Right.
And it wasn't until, so I had my walkout. Those flames pumped me up.
Yep.
The flames and the music pumped me up, but I got out there and I still felt empty. I didn't feel like muscular, ready to go. I just felt super empty. But you got to go. When that light goes green,
when that
you got
green light goes
you
on.
Jump out the door.
Time's
you know?
Up. Let's do this.
It's time to jump out of the fucking door. So I just started chucking that sandbag, staying calm. Yep. And when he told me, or actually, so right before that, I told myself, I was like, hey, man, it doesn't matter. You're like, your feelings don't matter. Like, being scared doesn't matter. Like, you can move. You have. I trained so much. Like, it's physically, I'm fucking ready for this.
Right.
So all I got to do is just, like, shut my brain off and just move. Because there's nothing here that I can't do, and there's nothing here that I can't do really well. And I had that, and that's what my coach told me beforehand. He's like, dude, he's like, trust me when I say that it is highly unlikely that somebody has trained as hard as you have. He's like, as the person who wrote your program, it is highly unlikely that somebody else prepared this well.
Right.
So I read one of the texts from his coach before he went on that day, and it said, these are the only people that can beat you today. And it was a list of people, and the only one that was listed was you, meaning Derek. So you are the only person that can beat you today. And yep. It's so true.
So, but you know, and so I actually, so, and so I did a, or actually somebody shot me a message and they're like, hey man, I have a competition in 3 weeks. I'm really scared, but watching you compete motivated me. And I was like, I'll tell you a funny story. I was scared as fuck. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck happened. I was probably like visibly.
You were visibly nervous.
Yeah.
Even leading up to it, he was listening to Rocky and all those things. And so he said to me, I can't get my heart rate down. And I remind him of a couple things. First, we are at elevation, for us at least. It was at 3,000 feet, I think. So, of course, maybe it's a little lack of oxygen. Your body's getting adjusted. And another thing we couldn't control was how hot and humid it was.
Yeah, it was
in there.
Bad that day.
It was so hot and humid.
So that was
concerning.
So, like, I think, you know, it probably would have happened anyways, but, you know, definitely going through COVID at the beginning of the month and missing, like, my training has been, I've been doing as best as I can, but that's not my best.
Right.
And so, like, those, you know, factors and, like, did the dealing with the dizziness, and I haven't, it's been hard for me to regulate my breathing and the dizziness in workouts, you know. But yeah. Remember that workout I did? And we actually made a video of it, the ski erg and the sandbag and the I went hard on that one.
Yeah, you
I went, so that was kind of like I proved to myself that I can be dizzy. I cannot have my breath with like this sickness, like the lingering illness, and still do well. So yeah, I was just super, super hardcore moments of fear and doubt.
But you are going to be nervous. And that was another thing I reminded him of. Like, the fact that you are nervous means that you care a lot about this. It's a normal human emotion. Yeah. It's good and that you feel nervous. Yeah.
And so for the people who watched, or you like the, everybody who watched was like, wow, Derek, I like, or people told me, they're like, I've never seen a side of you like that. Like, you were laser focused, prepared. You crushed that. And so it kind of just goes to show, like, or like, you know, we say, you can't control the voices that enter your head, your brain, and, but you can control how you respond to that, you know? And I was just, so it's like, I'm not upset. I would like, I don't know if it's realistic to remove that pre-competition.
The nervousness of pre-competition?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think you need it. It's just learning to deal with it. It amps you up. Yeah. It gets the adrenaline going, and it makes you sort, it's that fight or flight response, and it lets you go.
Well, and if you talk to people who've been performing like in like stand-up comedy or anything for years and years, like they still get that going in, and they're legends. And they're like,
I think it's a good thing.
It's totally a good thing. It means something to you.
It means you're alive.
Yeah. So like, I'm actually, you know, it's like I've proven to myself that I can be that fucking afraid and still go out there and get shit done. You
that's
know?
The like juice, just, man. That's the
like,
best
so
feeling.
Like, so like next time I'm competing, when I feel that way, I'll be like, oh, I can still do this. But had I have walked away, thought about walking away.
No.
Had, like if you quit, then next time you try,
it's even
you
harder.
Remember that you're a quitter.
Yeah.
Your brain remembers
those things. We've talked about that.
You know, so it's like, you know, okay, this competition is over. What did I accomplish? I got better for next time.
Yep.
Because the next one's going to be harder, you know, and then the next one's going to be harder. Everybody always gets better. Everything always gets more difficult. And this competition was only training for the next one. That's something I really learned here, you know, so... Yeah, I couldn't believe how scared it was. It's just, it was funny, you know. Back to the workout, I had a couple goals for the workout. You know, like I said, like within the first 3 minutes, I knew I was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of casually moved through the rest of the workout. I had a little fun. I didn't push it. I didn't go full throttle.
Saying that truthfully, like in the first 3 minutes, you knew you were going to win. How do you mean?
Because I was finished with my bar muscle ups before he even started his, and it takes, so that's like a good 45-second lead at minimum. If somebody does the 9 muscle ups, that's a 45-second lead to waste.
Yep.
And that's just in a one-on-one event. One workout, 9 minutes. If you get 30 seconds behind, the other person has to, or I'm too good to give up that lead.
I get
you know?
That.
And
I
there was
really
the same
do.
Thing the other way around. If Marcus got a 30 to 45 second lead on me, I couldn't close that distance if he was good enough to keep moving.
But I think that's what makes these style workouts kind of different than like football or something. Like you can see the score in football. I mean, if it's a run up, you're not going to whatever. But anything can happen, like in CrossFit style workouts or like MMA or whatever. Like you just never know. So I'm uncomfortable saying, "Oh, I knew he was gonna win 3 minutes in." But I mean, that's not something to take it away from you. It's just it's interesting. Anything can happen. Like those tears could have tore you apart, and maybe you.
I still did all my
get
muscle
up
ups.
On the.
I went 7-7 unbroken. I had a little fun there. The cleans that hurt. Yeah, so I think my tears popped in the round of 7, I'm not sure.
I think it was 7, and I think it was 7 where you didn't come off the bar.
Yeah.
And I was upset because I was like, oh man, like he can afford to come off the bar. The grip is crazy. So again, like it's 7 toe to bar, and then he went straight into 7 muscle ups. And then that's nuts. And that's why I think like Brooklyn did a great job commentating, because it's different. Like you see something, but you don't know how it taxes your muscles unless you're hearing it from someone or doing it. I've never personally done a muscle up, so I don't know. But that's a lot of work to go from that hanging 7 toes to bar into 7 muscle ups.
After the cleans and muscle ups. Yeah. So that was my one little spurt, but for the rest of it. And so it's like, I didn't end up finishing the workout.
How far did you go?
I had 6 sandbags left.
Oh, okay. But you got to sandbags, which
right,
was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in 2017, I did this against Marcus and I got 2 or 3 muscle ups in the round of 5. Okay. So I still had all the cleans and the sandbags left and I was fucking tanked.
Yep.
Like
you
I was
heavier
tanked.
Then, weren't you?
I was barely heavier in a
Maybe
weird
just
way.
You looked like it because you had the beard and the long hair.
Yeah. You know, and I was like, you could see I was like purple in the face.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, you know, after the workout, I laid down on the ground. I was sitting down and stuff like that. So one of my goals for this workout was no matter what, when it's over, do not lay down on the floor. That's one of my new CrossFit rules.
Well, I thought one of your goals was to also not sit, right?
Well, I sat on the box just to casually. You know, okay. but like standing, you know, like, but I sat upright and stuff. Right. I didn't sit down on the floor. They had those boxes there. That wasn't planned. I was like, yeah, right. when you're standing on one leg, that's different than standing on two.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a rest stand. So you don't rest on one leg.
Can we talk about that for a second? So the buy in, the cash out, the 10, 100 pound sandbag over shoulder. So again, strategy. Derek's strategy was to always lift it over his right shoulder because there was no rule on which one that you needed to do.
You didn't have to alternate.
Right.
They didn't.
Wait, it was your right shoulder, right?
From my right shoulder.
Yeah, which is the leg that he's missing. So go through like
I don't
that.
Know why. When I go over my left shoulder, it just feels weird. And I think it makes sense to me that if I overload my already heavy side, I just tip over a little bit, you know? Yeah. And so it just, I don't know the mechanics of why.
Yeah.
It just feels a lot smoother and more natural. But the same thing is true when I do, like single arm dumbbell press, when I'm getting like 70s to 100 and they're heavy, it's easy for me to do my right side. My left side is really fucking hard, and I don't know exactly why.
But so
if
it's because of like the fake legs
bearing.
Absorbing some of the
or it makes me stand upright or just overloading.
Yeah. It's like overloading.
This side of my body is already 30 pounds heavier than this side. So like if I do a 100 pound dumbbell snatch, I can do it a lot smoother on my right side.
Yep.
But my left side like tips me over.
If he's standing up straight and doesn't have a shirt on, you can see he's leaning to the left because that's where he's really compensating. He's holding his body to the left because that he has the left leg,
right?
The left human leg. And he has like a strong glutes on that side, strong hams, strong quads.
Well, everything's coming from that side.
Everything's coming from that side, which is interesting. That's his strong side, but he chose to go right shoulder for the sandbag over shoulder. Just super interesting how you're like running through all of that. He has hardly any glutes, hardly any quads, hamstring, anything on the right side. So it's an interesting, I think, and again, something people don't necessarily think about.
You couldn't tell by watching me that it was more difficult to go over my left side and that doesn't take me any longer. It just feels, it takes more energy.
Right.
But that's again, the difference.
You're spending more on those movements.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm going right side.
These are just the little things that like make you just, you know, dial it in a little bit more. What small things can I do to get that much further ahead?
Yeah. It's funny. It makes me think we had a mortar team and I had a guy who was really, really slow and I just took him out there and we just set the gun up and tore it down, set it up and tore it down,
and I
would just sat there and I'd watch him. And I'd be like, okay, try putting your hand here. And then we try and shave off like one hand movement of him in placing the bipod on the cannon or something like that. And just every tiny little, okay, how can we remove one thing from
process improvement? Yeah, you can do it in anything.
Yeah.
My mom worked that at one of the large department stores, like at the headquarters there is like, how can quality, I think it's quality improvement.
Yeah, but you have to really get good at something to start
totally
picking it
100%. Like
these little changes, these little secrets we're sharing.
Yep.
It's like this is like level 10.
You know how to do it. You're good at it.
Yeah.
But how do we get a little bit faster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's like, which way to face? Yeah. Like which way? Yeah. All these little thoughts, you know? So I was like,
yeah, like where should your leg be? Yeah,
I like stuff like that.
Do you see me
I
just
do too.
Process
it
improvement?
It is. It applies anywhere in life.
Yep. So
can I move it this much closer or set it right here so that it's easier access? Like what can I do to
turn
make it
eight
this
steps
much?
Into five?
Yeah. Exactly.
So yep. I was, so the cleans were 135, and typically if I'm training, I would get my feet nice and square and maintain yep. a nice body position. But, you know, for training for this on my 135, sometimes I would walk up, get my feet as roughly good as I can and just lift it awkwardly, you know? And get used to that, because it takes two, like setting up your feet,
yeah.
like you guys setting up your feet, you can control your foot. I control my foot from, it's on a stick and I control it with my butt.
Right.
And so it takes a long time there. To get it in the right spot. You know,
I was remembering watching you on the over the shoulder ball throws, and you had and this just popped into my head. You had a good rhythm to your step out of it and your pivot to get in place for the next one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, damn, that looks fucking smooth.
Yeah. So another thing was throwing too far.
Yeah. Oh.
He was throwing the sandbag too far in training. So he was actually using too much force. And so
for the throw.
Yeah, he needs to get used to literally like just get it right here at your caps, like your shoulder, yep. and then roll it over. And he was using too much force, too much muscle, like save that. You
right.
know, you have a bunch left. This was just your buy-in.
Yeah. Right.
So it was actually, after we did the, so my burpee box jumps are like that too.
Yep.
I do the same down and up, and I know how many times times I hop,
yep.
and my breathing is in rhythm with that
yeah.
too. But actually now I don't, on a couple of the burpees, because of some work I did last Monday, I cut those hops down.
Oh, okay.
And it changed my breathing a little bit, but like now, so yeah. like, but it, that getting better, you know,
right.
like now 4 second burpees are as easy for me as 5 second burpee right. box jump.
And now you can start to adjust your breathing yeah. off of the yes. new rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was actually, I did 7 burpee box jump overs in 15 seconds by eliminating the hop. So,
okay.
so for someone like, so it's like jumping on one leg is hard because you have to find,
generate the
balance between balance and power.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
when you pop up, maybe your body position is leaning one way
right.
and you have to, when you're trying to generate power, if you don't have balance first, that's really hard. And
right.
it takes yeah. a lot to get
you
up.
You have stabilization with two legs.
Yeah, it takes a lot to get up to that 30-inch burpee box jump over. But I challenged Chad to a race.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I was like, hey, man, I'm pretty quick. I get these done in about 20 seconds. And he was like, all right. So he did his in 14 seconds. It was like 14.9 seconds, you know. But so he...
Is that
hop.
To a 30-inch box?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't hop. He's just like, you know, burpee, feet mm-hmm. come up, he jumps from there.
Right.
Yep.
Goes down, burpee, feet come up, jumps from there. And I
yep.
was like,
generate
man.
A jump with one
yeah. so that's
foot
where,
and one
that's
calf.
Where you get that 6
that's
seconds.
Where he, yeah, yeah, well, like the point 6 seconds
point
per
six.
Rep. And
yep.
I was like, and I told him, I was like, I don't know if I can do that because of how difficult it is. But I tried it and I did it. And that's, it took, so like I was really impressed by hitting 3 second reps on the burpee box jump overs. That took it down to 2 seconds per rep,
nice.
But it's at the point where it's a little bit too difficult to do in a workout yet,
right.
you know, but if this was a cool thing, I knew like, I didn't go as hard as I could have in the competition on CFC.
Well, because there's a strategy and you, again,
yeah.
you can't come out too fast, but
yeah.
I remember another
but
thing
we were ready
too.
To ramp it up if needed,
of course.
And it just wasn't needed.
Yeah.
So.
I actually was screaming at the end, green
I got
light,
video of that.
Go
yeah.
finish the workout. But the reason why I was saying that is because I had his coach on my phone and because his coach wasn't able to come this year, but I was going off of what his coach said. And someone even said to me afterwards, oh, it's so cute how you're coaching him. I was like, no, I was by
I was the eyes, Arlo.
It's playing yeah,
I was, yeah, I was the liaison.
Yeah.
But 2 months ago-ish, I don't remember times anymore, but I remember you were videoing, and I even think I saw your toes to bar, and he was practicing a lot in our gym, our home gym, actually, just in our garage. But the way that our bar is set up, it's kind of funky. He can't do like the whole swing
the
into
full
it.
Kip. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Into it. And so he developed this kind of hiccup. I don't know what else to call it other than like there was an extra little oomph. I don't know exactly uh-huh. what it was. And I was like, you need to cut that out. And so I've seen him enough. I'm not a coach by any means where I'm like, okay, like where can we improve? And then it was because of COVID and everything where we were staying home. Then he was able to go back into a real gym and he cut out that hiccup.
That movement, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but that so, was like,
you know, that's how I train, you know, and I make videos of those movements and then we analyze.
Yep.
And then it's like, cause they said my total bar looked like shit. They looked like I was using way too much energy than I should have on those toe to bar. So yeah, they helped help me clean that up.
Yeah, yeah. So it's again, like you said, basics. And I think like we've talked about or at least personally, like that's why special forces dudes are so good at what they do too, is because they practice the basics over and over and yep. over and over till yep. they're literally just like blue in the face.
Yep. Glass houses, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
we used to do that stuff all the time too. It's just right. like lay that shit out and walk through the stupid fucking make believe house.
Yep. Again,
50 fucking times. Yeah. Golly. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good. I mean, how many things are going to show up in that those different scenarios every time you do it? You experience yeah. different things. But that's what makes you different yeah. or any elite athlete different, is because you're so good at what you do now. Now you can start nitpicking and make the small things instead of doing all of the big, like, how do I learn how to do this?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, you know, you were shouting at me to finish and I shouldn't have said this. It was like one of my big regrets from the competition. I yelled at you and I was just like, I can't just call like, just, I was like, I can't, I should have said nothing. I just, you know, like, because I could have, you know,
I was just like,
I can't. But like, my hands were tore. I was breathing heavy. I felt dizzy and stuff like that. And so I lost focus. This was a good opportunity for me to train for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost sight of where I was at in comparison with the clock. I had no idea where I was anymore.
Oh.
And when I watched the video, I was like, holy fuck. I had a ton of time to finish that workout.
Yeah.
And I, nobody was on my tail, but I could have used that opportunity to really try harder. But also, you know, it's a weird thing, you know, so far ahead and you don't want to be impolite, you know, when it's 100-0, do you fucking keep your starting quarterback in, you know, like things like that.
Well,
you know,
you were the only, you right. were the whole team.
Yeah.
So,
but you know what I mean? Those thoughts go through my head and so I should just drown that out. But
I think you could have finished it and you, I don't think that it's rude by any means to finish the workout. Myself. That's what,
yeah,
the,
I wish I would have stayed
what you
a little
came
bit
there to do.
More composed. And, yeah.
Are you regretting it or?
It's not that. No, well, no, I learned from it now.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Like,
cool.
From now on,
be more connected to the clock the entire time.
Pay attention to me and my goals.
Yep.
But like my goals changed. Like our initially, you know, when I did that run through in early July, I finished the workout way under the time cap, but then I got COVID and then our goal for the workout was to beat Marcus by one rep.
Right.
To win by one rep. I did that.
Yep.
You know, but then I really did feel good after how fast I moved on those first burpee box jump overs. I was mm-hmm. like, dude, we're good. And I felt great the whole time, you know, I mean, you're going to breathe, but like I was in really good shape,
yep.
you know, felt great. I wish I would have, just went for it. I think, you know,
yeah,
just, you know, instead of, you know, I said out there, I said the words I can't. And I was like, you should not say that.
I didn't hear him, so
yeah,
you're
you
good.
Can on the video. You can see when I can see where I said it. To you. You can't hear me,
you live
but I know
yourself.
I said it. I was right. just like, I can't, you know, because yeah. I was like, that was the wrong words. I could have. I just I was feeling tired. I was definitely working, and I lost my edge. I lost my focus. You know.
Yep.
But it was also. These are the nitpicky things we take mm-hmm. to next time. We fucking did
exactly.
good enough. You know?
I like how we talked about earlier too, though, like what you can and cannot control. So like me personally, I'm just like, if something's not in my control, I just freak out about it. I'm an absolute control freak. I'm learning, I think, to roll with the punches, I think. But I think that is a thing in life too, to talk about like, okay, it was too hot. It was way too hot
yeah,
in there
and humid.
We can't
yeah.
control how hot yeah. it was. We can't nope. control the elevation. We can't control that they didn't tape your bar. Maybe it was an accident, whatever, but like rolling with the punches in whatever situation you're in, you're presented with 3, 2, 1, go. what are you going to do? Are you going to walk out and leave because it's not how you wanted it to be?
Yeah. So actually, like, so my, the big thing, like the one thing we couldn't control is like, the, you know, the enemy always has a say.
Enemy always has a vote.
Always has a vote. Always. Yeah. So it's like, we didn't know. And, you know, Marcus really, took his training seriously and his promotion of it seriously. We were expecting him to be.
It's like psyops, really, you know. Really we're like, good. How is he training? Is he hiding? So that's training?
What that's what I was. That's what I was afraid of. My biggest fear was, how am I going to react when he's 3 or 4 reps ahead of me? Because that's I don't know. I'm not used to that. I'm not.
Right.
And that's when. You know, and like, and this all seems so silly because these aren't life or death situations or something like that. But this is our chosen. This is competition, you know. So it's like if you're in a fight, if it's like, okay, he connects and you're fucking dizzy as shit. How are you going to react?
Right.
Like, you're not out, but how are you going to react? Are you going to like, you know, come out aggressive, or are you going to sink and feel defeated? And so I was just really, you know, I was so like my goal was. My goal, if I was going to lose, my goal was to maintain my aggression and positive self-talk the whole time. Never, always keep trying harder. Like, try hard, try hard, try hard. Don't give up. Don't even, like, say anything bad about yourself. Because if, so in the event that he beats me, he definitely fucking earned that.
Right.
Right. Like, and there's no,
you cannot deny someone's
because,
work.
And it was nice because I know how seriously I took this training cycle. I was like, are there things I can do better next time? Yeah. But for where I'm at right now, I did the best. I did everything I possibly could. I didn't take a shortcut.
Nope.
I didn't consciously take a shortcut. I didn't like everything. So if I was going to lose that motherfucker earned that shit, you know? And that's impressive as fuck, really.
Right.
You know, I was like, wow. I can't believe you won. Shit.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you know?
Because like, I know what I put in.
I fucking busted my ass. And, I'm no slouch.
Right.
You know? So, yeah.
So that's a question I have is, I think in powerlifting, we've talked before about you using visualization. Did you do that this time?
Yeah, that's
all?
What was fucking scaring me.
Okay.
You know, because like I heard myself. So,
what's
so
your
I was like,
conclusion or like answer to all of that.
So it was like, so in my head, I was running through, like, I'm trying to do burpee box jump overs and I'm breathing heavy and he's ahead of me, but I have to go faster. And so in my head, you know, I played it and I was like giving up mentally. And I was like, you can't do that. And so I was like, get angry, get fucking angry. If you're behind, attack. Don't fucking sit back and slouch and get all boo-hoo-y. Attack. Like, you're not going to fucking die.
Right.
It's just going to hurt. Attack. And so that was...
I mean, you could die. Well. But, yeah.
I mean, small chance.
That ain't going to be my problem, you know.
That's all your problem now.
Sounds like a lot of paperwork for you, not me, you know.
Someone clean this up.
But that was, I think that was what I was most afraid of. If I was going to be faced with a real challenge there like that.
Yeah.
It's yet to be seen how I'll react.
Every time,
you know,
I always think of Matt Fraser, like always, because he always has an eye on his opponents, and how he does that while also keeping his rep scheme and strategy is something
that's
amazing.
Just comes
to
with
me.
Experience. It's like, you know,
but he's so comfortable with the process. We've seen him firsthand, you know, be behind, and he's okay with that. And he's calm. He stays calm, and he still goes with his plan, and he still wins.
You watch
every time.
You ever watch motorcycle racing? Valentino Rossi is a motorcycle guy. He's the same way. Like sometimes for the first few laps, he's like 8th place.
Yeah.
And then he'll get down to like the lap, like there's 5 laps to go and he just goes and he.
So that was, like our plan for this was like, you know, take that round of the first D balls in the round of 9 really easy. Cause like, and just, or, you know, and just, you know, it's like keep pace.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was step on the gas in round 7. And then my instructions from my coach were to black out in the round of 5. And that meant, you know, 3-second burpee box jump overs, 5 and 5 without coming off the bar on the yep. toe-to-bar muscle-ups, and then cycling the 5 barbell cleans, not doing singles, but cycling them, and then just going ham on that ball.
Yeah, that's another thing I'm not comfortable with at all, is like not feeling uncomfortable during workouts. Is that a thing? Like, he's totally okay with being dizzy and like seeing lights.
Yeah.
And like, as soon as I start seeing things that I know are not there, I'm like, okay, I'm done.
That workout we did that Friday that we recorded, my back hurt so bad. And my goal was to do that workout in 10 minutes.
Yep.
And remember, I finished that last sandbag over shoulder at 10 minutes. Yep. There was 30 reps of the 100-pound sandbag over my shoulder in that workout. And I was in so much pain. I couldn't breathe. Like, I was in so much pain.
It was no breaks between.
And I was just like, I attacked it. And I was like, yep. Go hard. And I had the clock. I had 24 seconds to do those last 6 sandbags over shoulder. And I was like, I can't. This is the end of the workout. That's my starting pace. That's my fresh pace. I was like, I can't do it. I was like, Derek, you can't say this is your last workout for this training cycle.
Right.
You can't say you can't do it. You have to fucking go there and try harder than you normally do, you know? And I fucking attacked that shit, and I was in pain, and it sort of like motivated me, like fucking give me more. It's like this fucking, you know,
So that's interesting, because you're super tied into the clock right then.
Yeah.
And then you yelling at him and you saying, I can't, you just said that you weren't tied into the clock just then.
Yeah, but I got so far ahead at that point.
Right.
I think I was on my round of 7 cleans and he was still in the round of 9. So it was, yeah. But I had a lot of time to finish that workout. And I really, it's good to know that I can. It's good to know that I can do that. I did really well. And then I really wasn't very gassed at the end. You know, like, I was breathing for sure, but I had plenty of juice left, you know. So yep. If like for the next one, you know, they can't judge where I'm at based on that performance. You know, I did enough to win on Saturday, and there's more there for next time. And there will be another, like a title defense, you know. But I'll tell you, you want to hear what Coach and I have been talking about?
Yeah.
I was like, you know what?
Stacey's got a look on her face like, I don't know.
I was like, having one belt is cool. And I text my coach. I was like, you know what would be really cool? And I sent a picture of him. I sent him a picture of Conor McGregor holding 2 belts.
2 belts.
You do have 2 belts.
Mm-mm.
I mean, yeah, you do.
I mean, but no, but I only
current.
But they're the same division.
Yeah.
What would the other division be?
I inquired as to what the weight divisions were.
Oh, like, can you go up against able-bodied?
Yeah. Yeah, see if I can go beat any of these two-legged guys.
Oh, okay. Well,
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be the you know, and not to I don't want to say something I don't want this to come out the wrong way.
Speak your feelings, man.
Marcus is a true number 2 or number 3.
Yeah.
He really is. And that's like, I'm very far ahead of the pack in the above knee world. I just am, you know, like, and I screwed up on the post interview. The guy in Australia, his name is Martin. He's really good. He does overhead squats with no box, with like 65 pounds or something like not an amazing weight, but yeah. it's legit. Yeah. So he's an above knee amputee as
do you
well.
Do those?
No, fuck no, dude. I don't do overhead squat. I can do overhead squats, but I've dropped a barbell on my leg enough times to like, I don't.
Even for,
I don't
for
like
me,
him with two legs.
It's a circus trick.
As I'm saying,
you know?
Like,
yeah.
It's like,
it was hurting my shoulders.
Well, when you bail
weight overhead,
yeah. When you guys bail out, you have a place to bail out.
Fall right. To our knees.
I don't have a bail out place.
Yeah.
And that mother. So like, if I mess up a rep so many times, like I fall on the box, and when you fall, you come on the box, your leg,
yep.
that barbell is going to hit. It hits your shin.
Yep.
And I did that like 6 times in a year. And I was like, hey, man, I'm done doing overhead squats
overhead,
unless
I
have
bail
to.
Out in yeah. front of the bar, so the bar mm-hmm. goes backwards.
Yeah, and I can't do that because my box is there, you know, just
well, I'm
smashing.
Saying without a box, you could, but it overextends your shoulders, and your shoulders
smash.
Do not go back.
I have bailed out behind me before and bent a barbell. So
yeah, that's
what
I'm saying.
Happens.
Like, your shoulders, yeah.
Yeah, so
So is he is he gonna be the next guy to come?
I don't know. Like what I want to happen is I don't want to just do I don't want the only above knee matches to be me.
Right.
I want to watch some of these guys duke it out.
Yeah, I think you deserve to to sit back and be like, yeah, okay,
because like you know what you know they have the benefit of seeing me compete now.
Right.
You know, it's easy to show up to the CrossFit box and or like you know if somebody comes into the box at 5:30 and puts up a good score, it's easier to beat that score knowing that score than it is to come and do it yourself.
Right.
You know, so and I you know so and it and I. You know, I don't like to be mean, but what in that post interview when AJ asked me if I wanted to call people out, you know, like what I said, I was like, you know, it's not that. So I said, there's some people I would call because I don't like them. It's not that I don't like them. I don't like how they interact with me. In a sense, you know.
But don't you think that's the kind of like
the trash talk?
Sure.
Because Conor McGregor does so much. All right. Trash
okay.
Talk.
Yeah. But like, so that's the thing. But that's so. What I'm talking about here is like I'm friends with every above knee amputee in like functional fitness or fitness. I'm friends with them, you know, and we can like we're cool. And to be honest, like I help these guys with certain movements and tricks I've learned. I've been in an above knee amputee for quite a while longer than most people, or certainly in CrossFit competing for longer. And I enjoy that behind the scenes. We talk shop and we pump each other up and things like that. But when it comes to the con, like, look, okay, it's all well and good. If you want to be a man and you want to say like, you're coming after me. All right. Now you turn that switch on in my head that says, you're coming to take what I have. You're coming to take what I want. Mm-hmm. Just know. Now we're at odds. We can be cool. You know,
that reminds me of the Stipe DC match. You know, MMA. Yeah, so like, it was hey, like we're cool, they were OG bros, and they were like, it's like they respect each other and the other person's game. You know, it's like at the end they're friends.
So right. So in that respect, it's like So it's like you know. So I it's like hey. If you want to, if this is the conversation you want to have about it, all right, I'm gonna fuck you up.
Yeah, I'm gonna ruin. If you want,
I'm gonna
go
make
there,
you feel like I'm not like you don't. You have to understand. I'm not here to win. I'm here to dominate.
So can we talk about that a little bit about your competition this weekend and how much interaction you had with Marcus throughout the weekend? I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool too.
So Marcus and Derek are really good friends, actually.
Yep.
So Derek had his vehicle up there because we drove there. It's close to us. Marcus flew in from Florida. He didn't have his vehicle there because he flew in. So Derek was taking Marcus to the gym in the morning. They were training, practicing, things like that. And then he took him to the grocery store because Derek was going to the grocery store anyway, you know, like get some stuff in. pre-comp and like no one had to do any of that stuff, and Marcus didn't ask for it, I don't think, but even if he would have, then Derek would have surely said yes, you know, like these dudes are cool with each other. And that's not necessarily something you'll find with like a lot of different competitors. Like they were training against each other that night.
Yeah, I think also with like the type of competition this is, where it is one-on-one head-to-head. Yes.
Like you know, so in my I that was a weird, I debated on how, because everything that I did, like, you know, like all the planning, everything
didn't
we did,
include that?
You know, well, like, no, all the planning we did was to make the pre-competition routine, you know, I brought my, I planned my travel. We had it, like I planned my travel. I knew we planned our, where I was going to stay. I picked my own travel. We picked our own, we got an Airbnb with a kitchen. I brought my own food and things like that. And he traveled a lot further.
Yes.
But if that was me, I would have come out on Tuesday or Wednesday. I would have, you know, rented
got a car, got
a place with a kitchen, things like that. And like, you know, and so, but you can make an argument like, you know, he had to work, maybe they don't have the money or things like that. I was like, all right, what you need, if you want to be at this level, this is what you have to do. Everything, you know? But so I had, so I was like, I don't want to give that up. Like, this is an advantage I have over him right now. He's struggling to find his way around.
Yep.
And I have this advantage right now. Right, I was like, hey, okay, but there's different, like, but what's the right thing to do?
Yes.
What's the right thing to do?
What's and the I was difference like, I did, between you
know,
me
and I certainly,
someone.
I could have done more. I mean, you know, I didn't do more. Okay. Like I would, but I, you know, I tried to do the right thing, you know? Yeah. He had his interview Saturday morning and I was like, hey man, I'm going to the gym. And he was like, what time are you going? I was like, do you want to go to the gym? I was like, I will pick you up. And I hung around. I would have gone to the gym a lot earlier. I sat around for like an hour so he could do his interview. And then I picked him up and we did the work and we shot the shit, you know? And there was a definite, like, it wasn't like a, there was a tension, but not like an aggressive, I don't like yeah. you tension, you know?
Right.
He was throwing in some shots about, you know, where he was going to put that banner in his garage when he beats me, stuff like that.
Well, I was
you
with
know?
You guys right before the comp. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. we drove together to the yeah. gym right before everything, and it was yeah. just like, hey, what's up? But, I mean, it was still, yeah, it was like, hey, we're about to go head-to-head, mm-hmm. but it was a friendly, like, head-to-head, mm-hmm. and it was just good.
Yep.
You know, just
it was cool.
just like a healthy, yep. respectful.
Yeah, and actually,
relationship.
So we went for the athlete briefing, and everybody stayed there. The athlete briefing started at 3:30, and everybody stayed there. And I fucking hate staying there. I hate talking to people. At least, so I was like, for the first time, I was like, I'm going back. And Mark was like, you're going back? I was like, you want to go back? And then I legit picked him up to come. Maybe come and beat me. Like
right.
I fucking went at 6 o'clock. I went and picked up the
took
guy who was there. He was going to the same place I was going and he was going there to beat me.
Yeah. Yep.
Like this is fucking, but it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
And he's a good dude. Yeah. And he's a good fucking dude. Combat wounded vet. Same yeah. fucking yep. thing, you know? I was like, Marcus, I would like, I fucking hate competing against you because I can't hate you.
Right.
Like I want to experience
it'd be,
that.
It'd be more convenient if you were a piece of shit.
So
and I hate
nice
it.
To hate
I was like,
people.
But you're like, he's my fucking brother. Like in this, you know, yep. like we're, you know,
yep.
you do that shit. If that's what you did with your life, like we're fucking brothers. And it's like, hey, but you know, but that said, when, you know, he was game face when
oh, for sure.
he did his walkout and when yep. I walked out, I didn't fucking look at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him like give you a, like, fist pound and be like, all right, see you on the other side. I was that, like,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. Okay.
Game time.
Yeah. 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 But no, that was important. And I was yeah. talking to the coach about that. I was and he, I think he understood, but he asked me why I'm doing it. And I told him, I was like, hey man, it's just the right thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, yep, I get that 100%, you know? So yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it was the right thing to do.
Good sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have another maybe final question. I think, a bunch of podcasts ago, we talked about how do you start in fitness and your big things are goals. So start, you know, with whatever, but you did also mention pick a date or pick a competition. So are you still standing by that people should still take this seriously and like compete? And what do you say to that, I guess?
I think, competing, yeah, it's good for your character building. It'll like give you a reason to work harder and things like that, but you learn about yourself in competition. Like you really like I like August was really cool for me. You like you guys know that I like took a step backwards and I did a lot of thinking and stuff like that, and I just yeah, like competition, you don't know who you are until or like in a well, I think that's true. Like you don't know what you're made of until you're faced with something challenging. Like competition,
I think
means
it brings
challenge.
Up what we just talked about is yeah. there are things you can't control. So when I'm doing normal training, I can pretty much control everything and I can dip out of whatever
I want
to.
Go see what you're made of and learn and get better. That's
but
how
when
you
I
really
did,
get better.
When I did that competition with you at Sin City CrossFit, there was a lot I could not control and I did learn about myself and
yeah.
it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
So I am thankful that I did that competition. I think it's going to be a few more years before
yeah.
I do another
one. Here's a beef I have that I would only share on Savage Saturdays. People who run like fitness social media accounts that don't fucking compete need to, I just, in my opinion, like they should shut the fuck up. If you haven't competed or don't compete, it's just it bothers me. It bothers me because that's the hard part of all this.
Yes,
working
absolutely.
Out and looking relatively okay. So fucking easy.
Yeah.
It's so fucking easy. All you have to do is like the level one shit. You know, that's it. It's like level one shit, but you look like you're more advanced or something like that. It's so easy to do.
I agree.
If you really want to, and so if that's your, you know, if that's all you talk about, if you're talking about, if you're telling people like overcome adversity, rise to the challenge.
Mindset
get
shit.
Get comfortable in the uncomfortable. But you don't even know what fucking uncomfortable feels like. Your fucking version of uncomfortable is eating a rice cake instead of a fucking cherry fucking
starving
pie.
Yourself.
You know, yeah. Like that's not a real thing. Like compete. Compete or shut the fuck up. And that's only to the people who preach it all day, every day, you know? Stop with the fucking cliche Instagram posts and, like, compete or shut the fuck up. That's just, like, that it bothers me. I'd be like, if you're about the life, be about the life. Go out there and compete. Go
so you
fucking
stand by, you know, like, hey, train for something.
Train for something. Yeah, absolutely.
Pick a competition, even if you're not like
you don't have
best
to be like me and try to like fucking like, but part like
that's what I'm saying.
Trying.
I was. I competed.
And you're gonna get the bug. Yeah. You're gonna get the bug.
Yep.
If you start competing, start challenging, you're gonna get the bug.
Because I competed
bug,
with you.
Yeah.
I'm not like I'm not even an RX athlete, but I'm proud that I did compete, and I can say I did this. You know, I competed. I did this, and it. Maybe I will compete again. I
you
don't
did
know.
Really well. And you're, yeah, you have like a
well,
good.
Well, our goal was don't be last, and we weren't last. Right. So, but we beat our goal.
That's not
mission accomplished.
That's not, hey, that's not easy to do
no,
when you got
it's,
a fucking cripple on your team versus.
Right,
because
we did a scaled, it was Derek and I partnered, and it was super fun. And it, I guess in that aspect too, like maybe do something fun like that. Like, we were partners, we did a.
There was a, it's one of the workouts started with a partner run and you had to like fucking put a band around each other's waist.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm out there crutching. It was at a mile
and
or half
not a
mile.
Lot of room.
It's not.
I think it was like a half mile eight. To start and then a half mile at the end, wasn't it?
No, it was like a 0.8 mile, I think.
Oh yeah. It was
I
something it was funky.
Miles,
yeah.
I'm out there crutching this run, you know, we still didn't come in last.
Tied to Stacey.
Yeah. And I am by no means like super fit. And I'm just like, oh God.
No, if you ever wanted to turn it on, you could be really like you have a good well, you have good natural mobility, like natural you have good
scale you got good hips, Stacey.
Got,
we
got
hear about your hips
height.
All
right.
the time.
My
got
flexibility.
Got the
yes,
right,
I,
got the right height
it.
To thickness ratio.
Yep.
But for this for those, this
yeah,
sport.
Those Midwest
yes.
calves, man.
That's it, man.
They can do fucking work.
They do
farmer. I'm a farmer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I super agree with that. I'm not a competitor by any means, but I definitely think like just choose something or even like a 5K race.
No.
We actually just signed up for the 5K September 11th.
You know what you just said? You said you're not a competitor. I think everybody is a competitor, at least with themselves. I think people get sometimes this anxiety we feel inside is this like deep desire to challenge ourselves.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I agree.
And that's what it is. But we constantly let fear take that over.
Oh, I'm super scared.
Yeah. So that's, and so that's the anxiety. Sometimes that voice, when you're afraid to do something, that's because you have like such a deep desire to challenge yourself and it's fucking terrifying. And so if we can share something with the listeners, how I did on Saturday, like what I was able to accomplish, if you guys could have heard what was going on in my head or seen the look on my face. I mean, fucking, I was shaking.
Yep.
I was terrified.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was so scared. I didn't think I could do it. And I'd done all this preparation physically and mentally, and it didn't matter. I still faced that.
Yep.
You know, and that's okay. Like that.
It's normal.
That's just going to happen, I guess, you know, and I was surprised by it. And I was like, is this it? Is this the end? And I was just like, but I, you know, I did some meditations like last week and it was, you know, it was a lot about, hey, whatever comes in your head, let it fucking run.
Yeah.
Like let it run its course. Don't react to it. Don't get emotional about it. Let it run its course. And then, you know, come back to your, you know, like your focus point in the meditation, you know, for me, it's sounds. So, it was like, despite that fear, despite that, oh man, I was like, In my head, I was like, I felt so empty, like my fucking, you know, my throat was in my stomach type feeling.
Okay,
and
I'll compete again.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, Stacey White is re-entering.
You know what? Like you do really well when you have
No, what I'm, I know what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the things I can't control. I've said it like 1,000 times just on this podcast alone, is like when the bike isn't starting or when I walk up to the bar and there's no tape on the bar.
That shit throws
me off. And then I'm like, I'm done. But I am getting more comfortable with controlling what I can, and I have to roll with the punches. And so I have to get comfortable with
that. So you fix that by putting yourself in that situation more often.
Right. You're right.
And then that's how you get used to you are developing the skills.
Yeah. So that competition, that was our last event. We made it to the last event, but you kind of threw in the towel.
I was done.
Yeah. So it was it was a conga line thing. So it's like, it was like a skier, then some sit-ups.
It was
then
the rope pulls.
Then an assault. Oh yeah. That rope pull thing. Yeah. Ugh, fuck
it
that.
It was rope pulls, sit-ups.
The bike, and then sled push. Yes. And then so Stacy, we could have finished in the time cap, but Stacy threw in the towel on the sled push.
And it's embarrassing talking about it.
But I said, I can't. And I'm here the one that's
I fully admit that I did that. And like, it's embarrassing looking back. Like, why did you do that?
But the important, it happened because on the bike, Stacy just fucking eyes closed, starts cranking off the bike.
Yeah.
And the bike wasn't on.
But
it's probably not the judge's responsibility.
No, it's not. Right. And Derek told me that going into it. He was like, you are responsible for everything that happens. Yep. And it's true. He was like, pay attention. This is it. Like, pay attention. So I closed my eyes. I started cranking. And then I opened my eyes and it wasn't counting my calories. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, I'm done. Yeah. And I just quit. I quit on me. I quit on my teammate.
We
like
could
that
have finished
sucked.
That workout too, yep. but it got, yeah, but she like blamed the judge in that moment.
So, yeah. So yeah. I was like, all these reps, all these calories I just did, they didn't count, but that's my fault. I need to be paying attention to that stuff.
It also happened and it's over.
It did,
so now
and it was your first CrossFit competition. Exactly. Like those are the kinks you got to work out.
That's it.
Yeah,
like,
guess
that's
what?
Why
it
you
happened.
Have to start competing.
Yep. Cause
you're going to fuck up so bad. Probably like your first 3 to 5.
100%. I am checking every machine I touch.
Like I will waste 10 seconds to make sure like
triple
she's like before
on.
I even start, I'm gonna check the fucking batteries.
Yeah. Right.
She like shows up with her battery tester and shit. Like
who's my judge? Yeah. Yeah. All right, come here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's a thing. I've seen it happen in the CrossFit games too.
Yeah. Like,
something happens and it's out of your control. No. You roll with it.
So
that's
I think
part
that's,
of competition.
Isn't it called exposure therapy?
Where yes.
So
I'm terrified of flying, but I don't avoid flying because I have to do it.
You have to beat it.
Yes.
I used to enjoy flying.
Yeah. Now
I still like flying alone.
Yeah. So
but when you're sitting next to somebody who's having a panic attack, they're like, dude, I sleep on planes.
Yeah.
My body just knows.
Yep.
Not anymore.
And then as soon as I get the tappy tap, I'm like, she wakes me up. I'm like, God damn, I don't want to be awake on this flight. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to fast forward these 2 hours. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. And I guess we're going to have a conversation about what you're going to do and when or something like that.
Well, it was the Sin City Massacre or whatever it was.
Oh, we're doing that?
No, I'm saying that's what we competed in.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
just saying there's enough time for me to sort of get ready for the next one.
Sure. Oh, yeah. That'd be cool. See. It's the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Valentine's Day Massacre.
It's a couple's thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might.
But we're also, like I said, doing a 5K. I accidentally, quote unquote, signed us up for a September 11th 5K.
Right on. That's fucking,
it's virtual.
I was looking for some, and then COVID happened, and then they all went virtual. And I was like, that's not what I'm looking for, because I can go run by myself and look at times. Like, I want the crowd, and I want the people, and I want the showing up.
I don't
up,
want
and,
the crowd. I don't want the
I like
people.
It.
Yeah.
I'd just train in my gym,
that.
My garage.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Well, I think that'll wrap up our show for today, huh?
Yeah, compete.
Yeah. Yeah. Compete.
Get out there. Compete.
Challenge yourself.
Make yourself uncomfortable.
Face that fear. Face that voice. Because, you know, I actually, in my post interview yesterday, they asked if I had any advice. And one of the things I said that I've never said before that I liked, it was like, I was like, just know that your hero gets scared. Like your hero gets scared. Cause a lot of, like in fitness, a lot of people, you know, like it's that fear that keeps them out of the gym. It, you know, and it's just like, hey,
yeah, that's true.
You're like the person that you think has all their shit together and is the most badass motherfucker, man or woman,
shit in their pants right now,
is fucking nervous pooping for
they
72 hours before they go and do something that scares them.
For sure.
You know? So it's just fucking, it's just being human, man. It's all about how you fucking handle it.
Be alive.
Handle being human. All right. Yep. We love you guys. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll catch you next week. Cheers.